I covered this at Bible study, but I really felt like everybody online and everybody else need to hear this too. And oh, by the way, George and Dorothy, welcome, my friends from Lancaster, California. And so there's something that goes with that too, is I'm always amazed how many people are online watching this all over the country and different things. We had a big business conference last week, and it was amazing how many people come up and go, that's what you said too. Every Sunday you watch it, right? And in other people's homes. And so this is just good news. I'm just sharing with you that, because a lot of people like to go, hey, are we making a difference? And see, here's the thing. People want movements and stuff. And the New Testament, I mean, I'll cover that a little bit, is it's very different. He goes, you know what? You plant the seed. He goes, nothing what you do. Hey, listen, I plant the seed, Apollos watered. None of that means anything unless God does something. So all of your programs are for naught unless he moves. Does that make sense? And so I'll cover a little bit of that, but he said, you just share the gospel. It's the seed. That seed is the power of God. Everybody thinks it's the Holy Spirit and miracles and the power of God. And that's what Paul said too. He said, listen, I didn't come with you with excellence of speech. He shared the gospel. Go look at it. People take that as the miracles, did they happen? Yes. But the only thing that changed people was the gospel. And that's the power of God unto salvation. Everybody's, okay, the gospel is important, but now let's go to the miracles. They completely miss it. I just know that's a babe yet. Does that make sense? Because the gospel is enough to change them 100%. It'll change every area of their life. Now, the miracles are there to prove what your gospel is preaching is true. But unless you preach the gospel, and the gospel is not the four gospels. You guys understand that? There's a lot of things in there that aren't good news. There are. Just go look. It's so people, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I go, you can take that and totally butcher it and screw up your life. I promise you. Is you need to find the good news, what he's actually talking about in there. The good news is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Now that's the man's, God's message about man, his word, his, Jesus was the word, right? His message about man is, I'm going to die for you to restore you, and now I'm going to treat you as Jesus. That's the word of God. That's the message of God. Yeah, but where's the miracle? The miracles come to show people, but that's the message he really wants. Does that make sense? So anyway, the reason I'm saying all that is last week, it's growing amazingly. Is the last week was the first week where in the first week we used 80% of our purchased upload. There are people watching it online within the first week. I was like, wow. So that's good. That's good news that it's happening all over. Amen? And here's what I know, guys, is the good news, it matters what you listen to. It's matter what you hear on a weekly basis. That's why I take it very seriously. I want to share the good news and nothing else. And it seems so common sense to me, but if it's not good news, it's something else. Does that make sense? If you don't come out going, man, that's good news, then that's not the good news. It's an interesting thing. I know it's like simple, but that's what Paul said. Don't be beguiled by all this stuff. And even Moses, you know, he was in the glory cloud and all the miracles and all this stuff. And he goes, I know that's not you, like God. I want you. Yet it seems like Christians, they want, okay, I got the good news, that, which means I know they don't have the good news. We want the miracles. Moses goes, it's the exact opposite. He goes, see, here's as believers, guys, the good news will prosper every area of your life. You don't need it. The good news is the power of God, which unto salvation, prosperity, wholeness, health, everything. You guys understand that? To the believer, that's how we operate. The non-believers, who we touch, and we make them clean. You guys get it? So, I don't know why I'm saying all that, but here's where I think people don't understand is the bigger the challenge, what most teaching is taught out of lack, even the Holy Spirit, faith, and let me just share this with you. What I want to share with you is he's completed you, he's given you assurance, he's given you everything you need, you're more than a conqueror in everything in him. You have a marriage relationship, and so I want to talk to you a little bit, so let's go through this. And what do I mean by that? Hey, if you've gotten a death sentence, if you have financial lack, if you have family problems, it really doesn't matter. He wants you to do less. In your weakness, his strength. That's covenant talk, guys. Hey, I gave you my coat. You give me your coat of uncleanliness, of lack, of everything else, and I'll give you my coat. Your weakness is where I'm supposed to be strong. Amen? Yet we're trying to be strong. And he goes, no, if you just are weak in that area and go, Lord, I need your salvation here. You're married to salvation. You guys understand that? His name is salvation. You're married to it. What does that mean in a covenant? Everything he's got is now mine. So I don't need to struggle for it. Lord, thank you. I have it. Amen? You guys get this? All right, so let's go through this very quickly here. Isaiah 54, 17, and this is the promise we have today. That's what it said. The old covenant are promises. Jesus is the reality. He's the substance. He's the title deed. That everything that was hoped for, even though they didn't see it. You guys understand that? So here's what we have now today. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody's running around worried about the enemy attacking them. I go, it's irrelevant. No weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall judge. That's actually what that condemn is you're going to judge it. So if there's something that's not in the new covenant of salvation, judge that. Go, that is not mine. This is what I have. Does that make sense? It doesn't mean we go attack that person. It means judge that negative in your life that's not of God. So this is what I have. Thank you, Father. All right? This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me. Your righteousness is free from him. Your righteousness is not your obedience. It's not your reaction. It's not how much faith you have. It's none of that. It's from him. You guys get it? So you don't need to fight for yourself. You're in a marriage relationship with salvation. That's why you can call at any time. He said, before you've called, I've answered. Now, good news, your husband is salvation. All of us, the bride. So let's go through this. And I want you to hear me on this, because people can get most teaching on faith, whether it's faith, the Holy Spirit, always comes from a position of lack. Let me show you what this means. Not from a father-son relationship, not from a husband-wife relationship. See, and I think we take a lot of these things. We take, because Chris Obey and I were just talking to these evangelists, and every time when I come away from there, I go, God, they're missing the whole thing. You just said that with the prophets too. They're confused. Everything in the new covenant has to fit in a husband and wife relationship or a father and a child relationship. It has to. That's where love happens. Does that make sense? So we come up with all these other things. And I want you to understand, if it doesn't fit, how would a husband treat his wife? Because we have this thing about the Holy Spirit. It's mysterious. Honey, you got to do a better job of learning how to hear me. And be careful. I'm really sensitive. I might fly away. I hear that nonstop in the charismatic world. I go, that is not a father-son or a husband-wife. Is that a good way for me to treat her? Then that is not the Holy Spirit, guys. I know that's what you're hearing in the charismatic world. Here's what's interesting is because when we were talking to the evangelists, they were talking about discipleship. I go, it's never mentioned after Acts. Shepherding is never mentioned after Acts. It's a father-son relationship, husband and wife relationship. The church was not seen. They didn't understand this thing. So you can go through the Gospels and we teach all these things. I go, that's why it's not working. Because the evangelists were going, we need a movement. I go, I've seen tons of movements. Gee, have you seen movements in Africa? We saw so many miracles. The people are starving, hurting, because they're not getting the gospel. They're getting the Holy Spirit, what they call the Holy Spirit. I go, that's not even the Holy Spirit. Healing is not the Holy Spirit. It's a manifestation of his love for you. Here's what a spirit is. This is what people don't understand. This is the spiritual warfare. How many of you guys have heard that all the time? The fight of faith is the spiritual warfare. See, here's where people get this confused. They take a look at, he descended like a dove on Jesus. So they think the Holy Spirit's like a dove. He's sensitive and he flies away. Honey, if you're not sensitive enough to me, I'm going to fly away. In order to follow, are you following me? Watch me. Every step. Follow me. Did Jesus act like that? Would I treat my kids like that? Then that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the voice that came after it. He descended like a dove, comforting. See, the Holy Spirit's always comforting. He's edifying. He's uplifting. And he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the vital principle that you believe that affects your mind, will, and emotions. They missed it completely. Does that make sense? So Jesus immediately, he was driven out to the desert as the scapegoat, because that's what the scapegoat did. He took all the sins of the world out to the desert. He was a picture of the scapegoat. He lived out there from the message of God. that God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. See, here's what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. Are you going to operate from a position of servanthood where I got to please God? I got to learn how to, it's all this kind of stuff. I need to be more sensitive to him. Honey, you need to be more sensitive to me. Hey, kids, if you want my attention, you need to be more sensitive to me because I'm like a dove. That is a confused individual, but that's what's taught. Does that make sense? The Spirit is the belief system. And here's what Moses, what he told him. I see all these miracles, Moses. I see the fire. I see the earthquakes, all this. That's not you. He goes, show me your glory. And he goes, no problem. I'm going to put you in Jesus and show you my goodness, my mercy, my compassion, my love. That is the glory of God. That's the Spirit of God. That's what animates him, is his love for you. You guys understand this? So I'm trying to get this because I hear this in the charismatic world nonstop. I know how to usher in the presence of the Holy Spirit. They don't know the Holy Spirit. Because it's not that. It's a vital principle that animates your mind, will, and emotions. It's not a presence. You guys understand this? I know I'm stepping on toes. But see, listen, what's the message of God? I love you so much, I gave up my Son. Now you're completely sin-free. I'll never judge you for anything you're ever going to do again. He took you out of Egypt. The lamb was slain to get you out of Egypt. But he also wants you to know, didn't he tell the Israelites, he goes, listen, I also want you to go to the promised land. That is your inheritance. In a Jewish mind, a son and the father and the son, if he gave them his inheritance, what is that? That's a father-son relationship. Not only does he want you to take you out of sin, he wants you to know he's given you your inheritance. You're a son again. That's how he's going to relate for you from now on. You guys get this? He's not weird. I struggle with this with all these guys. We need to teach discipleship. Never mentioned after Acts. Father, son, husband, wife relationship is what's talked about. You guys understand this? You have to understand scripture from those relationships. If they don't fit, you're messing up. I'm just telling you. You'll do everything weird. Well, you got to be so sensitive, he might tell you to spit in clay and put it on somebody's eyes. Would a father tell his son? They don't know what he's doing there. The Jewish writings said, not only did he go, hey, I'm going to give you these 10. The Jewish writings said this. The Jewish writings said, listen, even his saliva is going to make the blind see. And we think, because of our teaching, that he was so sensitive that he might tell you to spit in clay and put it on their eyes. No, he said, you know what? I'm going to show you that it's so clear that I'm the Messiah and who you were looking for. Not only am I going to fulfill all the commandments that God gave, I'm even going to do your 613 nonsense ones that you added. That's what was going on there. You guys understand this? If you go, you need to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, are you coming from a position of assurance or lack? Lack. He goes, I did everything for you. Stand in assurance. You guys get this? Most of the teaching is just, I just believe, I go, man, they're missing it. They're close. Do they have these gifts? And yes, God wants to use them so much, but they can't really until they get the gospel is what he wants shared. You guys understand that? Shepherding, discipleship, never mentioned after Acts. You know what Paul did? Because see that, and this is what we were talking about, Chris and I at lunch. They were going, you know what? The Great Commission. You know who he was given that to? The Jews. Hey, you go, make disciples of all nations. You know where they went? They never left. He's given us command to go. They never left. Now they're going to get that command again in Revelation. What did he want after that? I'm going to do this amazing thing that nobody saw. By the time Acts is done, you don't hear that anymore. Paul went and shared the gospel of grace. This concept of you're my bride and I'm your husband. Can you understand that? That's how I want you to view me. This concept of I'm a father and you're a son. I'm going to love you like a child. That's how I want you to understand. You guys get this? That's the gospel. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit that animates God and it'll never change. You guys get it? They're confusing the miracles, all this stuff, with the Spirit. No, those are gifts of the Spirit. That's not the Spirit. Because if I ask most of those guys, I go, explain it to me. They can't. Well, the Holy Spirit's this. Fall down. Did you ever see anybody fall down in Africa? All the time. We saw every miracle in Africa. Do I see a people that understands the gospel? Laura, you were there. Not even close. Not even close. You know, we were sharing, they were going, you know what? Colorado Springs, it's like Dallas. It's one of the most church per capita of anything in the world. And these people were sharing with us. They go, you know what? Is the suicide rate in teens is one of the highest in Colorado Springs. And I told these evangelists, I go, I know why. Yeah, spiritual warfare. Yes, but not how you think it is. They think that God's angry with them and condemning them, and they're so desperate to please their parents, and they're so desperate to please God, they just go, this isn't worth it. I'm out of here. I go, the most religious places is where you're going to see the most sin. They'll hide it. Does that make sense? I go, if we share the true gospel, those kids won't cut themselves, they won't kill themselves. I go, you know what? That's what I was just sharing with them. I go, the miracles happen. The power of God happens when they hear the gospel. Amen? Does he want your body healed? Yes, of course. But you know what? If that healed, they'll be in the same position sick-wise 6 months from now because they didn't hear the gospel, that their conscience is cleared. God loves you unconditionally forever. That is the gospel. And not only that, you don't have to fight for it anymore. Everything's free. You have your inheritance because of Jesus. That's the word of God. That's the message of God, that Jesus was the real lamb. He died, and now you've got your inheritance. You're seated on the throne with him, worthy of everything. You guys get it? That's the gospel. And the miracles are there just to perform to the outside world that gospel is true. If you don't share that and you got miracles, I saw it all over, you don't got anything. That society will not change. Does that make sense? Is we've got a pre-church society here? Then why do we have the number one suicide rate amongst Christians? Because we're not sharing the gospel. We're sharing religion. God's going to judge you based on how good of a Christian you are. No way. No way. You know, that's what I was sharing with one of these guys, and they were going, what about homosexuality? I said, well, Pastor, what makes your sin different than theirs? I'm not saying, that's just the one they picked. I go, pick any of them. Your arrogance is worse than that to Jesus. Seriously. Sorry if I'm getting a little bit ticked off, because I see Christians going all over the place without the true message of God. Does that make sense? And I go, that is the only thing that will change that person's life, not the miracle. It won't. The Jews saw all the miracles, they didn't hear the gospel. Amen? You guys understand this? Will he use you? Do you have gifts? Yes, but it's not, I know how to usher it in. No, you don't. Now it's, what you're really doing is go, they have lack, and I don't. Does that make sense? The Holy Spirit always is the Spirit of truth. It'll always confirm the truth. So when you preach the message of truth, he'll confirm it. You guys get it? I'm not saying, because I hear this, I'm not picking on anybody. It's just, when I'm around a bunch of religious people, I go, man, I know what the church, I just want to make sure you know the truth. Does that make sense? And they're all over the place. Well, it's spiritual warfare. We got to cast that spirit of suicide out. You've been casting for 30 years and it's getting worse. I go, you're not sharing the message of God, which is the power of God unto wholeness. The message, when your heart's healed, guys, it brings you into that. You guys understand that? I'm not going to get to the scriptures. That's kind of the message. Because it's all about love. Let me just go through these. So, you need to have more faith. You need to increase your faith. What is that? I guess I don't have enough. You need to learn how to hear the voice of God. I guess I don't know how to hear the voice of God. You need to learn how to usher in the presence of the Holy Spirit. I guess I don't know how to usher in the presence of the Holy Spirit, even though he's here and he'll never leave. And I'm in the anointing. I guess I don't know that. You guys get what I'm trying to say? Hey, you share the message of you're okay. You all have gifts. You need to learn how to use them. He'll always comfort people. He'll never call people out. You need to understand that. Does that make sense? So people go, I'm prophetic. Yes, learn how to use it. Learn how to use it. You'll never call them out. Because you go to them with the opposite. Hey, God showed me this, so you share the gospel with them. If they're hurting, you tell them how much he loves them. If they have depression, you tell them, you know what, he loves you unconditionally. He's so joyful about you. You don't show them their lack. Does that make sense? God showed me you're fearful. You haven't learned yet. Is that the gospel? No, that's a word of knowledge that you don't know appropriately how to handle yet. Does that make sense? You don't do that kind of stuff. He's the comforter, the edifier, the uplifter, the builder. Amen? The Holy Spirit is, you are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. That's what he did to Jesus. That's what he says to you now. That's the message of God. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the thing that should animate every part of your mind, will, and emotions. He loves me unconditionally. He'll use me unconditionally. I screwed up. I know that's, now you're a candidate for his wholeness. And your lack is where he'll, does that make sense? Because the world teaches you everything other than that. Well, if you would have been better at this, and if you would have heard him better, if you would have done this, then you wouldn't be in this mess. No, he says, you know what, this stuff comes. Amen? And then what happens? Lord, I give you my mess. He goes, that's all I needed. I know I'll save that mess. My name is salvation. You're married to me. You can't get any better than that. Lord, I need healing. I did all these things wrong. Well, you know, cause and effect. You smoked Pall Malls for 30 years, you're going to get cancer. It doesn't say that. I've never drank coffee in my life. I drink it like 10 cups a day with excess energy drinks, with a full of... Right? What's that really? See how that's taught? I'm a little bit better than you. It is the law. I'm just trying to be nice, you know. I'm like, anytime you need to learn to do that, you need to do this. No. You need to receive everything he's freely given you. That's all it is. I have nothing. What, fantastic. That means you're qualified for everything. He gave you your weakness. He gives you his fullness. You guys get it? That's the message of God. That is the message of God. That's the Bible. It says Jesus on it. In the volume of the book, it's written of me. Not for you to follow, for him to follow and you to go, thank you, Lord, you followed it. Now every promise is yes for me. That's it. Amen? I'm going to treat you like a son, and I'm going to treat you like a bride. But I might fly away. That's just wrong. It's wrong. That's why I look at it, I go, why do you think the kids are so messed up? Amen? Why do you think you don't have influence in the world? Because they're going, these Christians are weird. Yes, they are. The Holy Spirit is, oh, you got that problem? Let me give you the good news, man. He doesn't even see that. He took care of it on the cross. All he wants to do is give you himself for free. Does that guys get it? How does he want you? See, here's the thing, and I'll probably teach this. I'll probably teach Mark 11, 23, 24, because I grew up Word of Faith, charismatic, all these teachings, you know, my dove's going to fly away and all this stuff. Would my father ever treat me that way? No way. Would ever I treat my wife like that? She probably wouldn't be my wife very long. Then that's not who he is. That's not how he goes. I'm going to give you stuff that you can really understand. How does a husband love his wife? How does a father love his kids? You guys understand this. Fathers, this is how you can know you're going to be healed if you have a healing situation. You fathers, your grandfathers, would you ever tell your kids, hey, you know what? Oh, they've been diagnosed with whatever. I don't really care. Pick a disease. Amen? As a father and a grandfather, what happens to your heart? I'll do anything to heal them. He won't go, you know, God's done everything he's ever going to do for you. And until you reach that level of faith, now I'll move. I'm looking around the world looking for faith. Faith is the currency. You don't have enough yet. I can't heal you yet. And I hear it from very respected people that I still respect. They go, it can't be that way. He goes, I'm going to be your father and you're going to be my son. I'll do everything. And you know what? He did do everything. You're healed in Jesus' name. In salvation's name, he goes, trust me, the resources of heaven are there. You've already been healed. I am a father. And he goes, if you get that, see, it's just goofy for me to believe that I have to reach a certain level of faith, and then my faith will work and I'll be healed or prospered, whatever. That is a goofy father-son relationship. That is a goofy husband-wife. Honey, as soon as you get enough faith in me, then I'll do something for you. Till then, build your faith. Quote some scripture. Hear the Holy Spirit more. Then I'll treat you like my bride. See how goofy that our theology is? See how goofy what we've been taught most of the time? Because I'm going to give you something easy in the new covenant. All those things, I get it. They're in there. And even in the Gospels, he goes, but after, when everything changed, when the Jews didn't receive him as the Messiah and bring in the kingdom, what did he change? I'm going to go build my bride. I'm going to go build the church. Amen? Now, when we're gone, guess what? The kingdom's going to be center focus again towards the end in Revelation. Now it's going to be, they're going to go make disciples of all nations. In the meantime, we're supposed to share the good news. You guys get it? Read your Bible in context. Make sure you know who they're talking to. Make sure when it is. After, because I go look it up. There's no word, there's not discipleship, there's not shepherding ever after Acts. Why? Because the Jews didn't accept him who he was. I've got a different program now that the world didn't see. It's called my church, my bride. I'm going to go get my bride. I'm a lover like a bride. She's married to me, the king, who's got everything. Amen? And I'm going to operate with her in pure love. That's all I'm going to do. You guys get it? Hallelujah. Then you know the gospel. Then you're sure. So let's just go through a couple scriptures. I know I got to get you out of here. How does all this work? This is what God woke me up and changed everything this morning. It was about it, show them everything's persuasion by love. Faith, I don't like faith how it's taught because it's this meter. It's this thing we need to increase. And I'm this God who's sitting there, sovereign, waiting for you to get enough of it. How much faith did you have when he sent his son? How well did you hear the Holy Spirit and usher in the presence when he sent his son? That's how you're going to know. That's how you're going to have faith. That's how you're going to be persuaded. His love for you. You got to get it? Then when it's taught the other way, like you, out of lack, I always see people that are, there's an edge to it. It's not loving. Does that make sense? Well, if you had enough faith, this would happen. If you understood how to hear the Holy Spirit more, this would happen. That's not... And then at this, those are the same people out there talking on the other side of their mouth now going, it's all about relationship. That is a screwed up relationship you just described to me. It is all about relationship. He's going to treat me like a bride. He's going to love me unconditionally like a bride. Amen? He's going to treat how a father, if you understand fathership, grandfathership, how would you treat your grandkids? That's how he's going to treat you, and he'll never change. That's the true message of God. Amen? All those other things is that's who he identified. He goes, this is how I'm going to identify you. It'll be really easy from now on. And then we screw it up with all these theologies and weird Holy Spirit teachings where you fall down. No transformation in those groups typically. I mean, we've been around them all, haven't we? I'm not picking on them. I've been in them. I've practiced them. Right? And yet, I was like Moses. Lord, this can't be you. Where are you? This is screwed up. Amen? Nothing changed until I heard the good news. Then everything changed. Amen? You guys get it? So, for in Christ, neither circumcision, uncircumcision, that's theology, whether you're Jew, Gentile, really doesn't matter anything about that, but faith, don't we all supposed to operate in faith now? How's it become effective? Worketh is what that means. Faith works when you know how much Jesus loves you. Now it works. Now you can be confident he's going to heal you, prosper you, etc. John 3:16, God so loved the world, he ushered in the presence of the Holy Spirit. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him, what's belief? Faith, persuasion. I believe you love me, Lord. Believe me and should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't come to judge it. That's what the church still thinks. What did he come to do? Save it. Sozo it. Save it. Amen? Give it everything that it lost. And God goes, you know what? I'm showing you what it's going to look like. Not only did I remove all of your sins, I gave you an inheritance as a son again. You're one with me again. You're worthy to put the shoes on. We were singing about that. You guys get it? All right, one more. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love towards us that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. So when we were yet sinners, you haven't learned the Holy Spirit, you haven't learned to hear his voice, you haven't gone to the Holy Spirit class, you haven't built your faith, you haven't done anything. How does he want it to operate in the New Testament? God demonstrated his love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than, here's what we can expect. If he loved us that much where we were his enemy, as other translations say, we were his enemy. Amen? Having now been justified by his blood, we've been saved through after him. For when we were his enemies, we were reconciled to God. That means the slate was clean. Okay? We've just been removed out of Egypt. The slate's clean. You're out of bondage, out of sin. Does that make sense? Does he leave you there? No. Through the death of his sons, much more having been our slate cleaned, now we can inherit his life. We will be sozoed by the fact that he's alive. That's the gospel, amen? So here's his persuasion, guys. I want you to know how much I love you. When you did nothing, I died for you. I laid down my crown. I sold everything I got to redeem you. Now that I'm alive, I've paid for all the debt. Now you're in my family. How much more can you expect to receive my life? See what Paul's arguing? So when you know how much he loves you is when he moves. That's when stuff starts to happen, because it flows out of your mind, will, and emotions. Your holy place. The Holy Spirit's perfect, flowing all the time. The reason you sense it more when we worship, because we start getting our eyes on Him again. You guys get it? And now it comes out of your mind, will, and emotions, and you feel it, the tangible presence. It's not that we welcome you, Lord, and He fell down. And if I'm not sensitive, He might... That is a weird husband. Oh, honey, I just sensed it. You're nuts. Okay, I'm following you everywhere I go. Is he going over? Did I hear you, Lord? Even if you miss it, you know what he's going to do? Come over here. I love you. Let me bring you back over here. It's not our job to follow him, guys. Shepherding, he's... New Covenant is all about sonship, inheritance, father, bride. Those were before cross concepts. Amen? Not that I'm not saying those are all wrong. It's just you don't find it in the New Testament. You don't find it. You guys understand what I'm trying to say? You'll find it in love. My relationship with you, you can always count on it. Amen? Even though you're a total jerk, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. No flying away. You guys get it? Oh, okay, let's finish. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. How does faith work? By love. If you understood how much I love you, the east, west, north, south, my breadth, my length, my depth, my height, I'll do exceedingly abundantly more than you could think or ask. I gave up everything. Come on, your healing? Of course I'll do that. What do you need? Finances? Of course I'll do that. We need your marriage fixed? Yeah, I gave up everything. Of course I'll do that. Amen? So we think we have to have more, and that's most of our teaching we get. What's Jesus' response? No, if you know how much I love you, a mustard seed of faith. You don't need to increase anything. That's out of a position of lack. I want you to know I've given you everything, a position of fullness. Amen? What can we do? If you have faith, the smallest amount, they wanted to increase something. I'm lacking something, Lord. What am I doing wrong? That's the stuff, right? What am I doing wrong? I must not have enough faith. God's not up there going like this, Reg. You know that. You're just right there, so. I'm not just, oh, I sense something over here. You know, if I did, I'd go talk to him, not expose him in front of everybody. Does that make sense? Because that's not comforting. Comforting is, man, let me tell you how much Jesus loves you. Be the comforter, not the caller outer. That's what they think gifts are. Does that make sense? So if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say what God says about you. You're his beloved, in whom he's well pleased. Lord, if he died for me, how sure can I be that you've already healed me, you've already prospered me, my business, whatever I put my hand to, shall prosper. All those promises are now yes and amen. You're going to treat me as a bride. Like Doug, that's one of my favorite scriptures, Psalm 37, 4 and 5. If you delight yourself in him, he'll put a desire in your heart and it says, roll it over to me, commit it to me, trust me. And if you hear me enough and follow me enough, learn how to hear me, have enough faith, then I'll do it. No, I'll do it. You just sit there and let me do it for you. Hallelujah. That's scripture. Amen? You guys get it? Don't let the teaching of lack, whether it's Holy Spirit, faith, he goes, no, if you've got everything you need, that's what he's saying. All you need to do is start saying. Let the redeemed of the Lord fast more. Say so. Homologio, say the same thing, amen? And that's Mark 11, 23, 24. We'll be done. Here's what he says. He said, listen, in the Greek it says this, is because we've always taught, you know what, believe, at the time you say it, believe you have it, then you'll have it. Literally in the Greek it says this, whatever you ask, when you know you already have it, it's part of your inheritance, then when you say it, it'll come to pass. But you have to first be persuaded you already have it. So how do we do that? Telling them they need to be more sensitive? No, that's coming from lack again. Hey, Red, you already got it. I know you're trying to worry about the Holy Spirit and all this stuff. What he wants you to do is you're his beloved son. You're in your relationship, an inheritance relationship now. You already have everything you need. When you say it, you'll have it. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say. You guys get how simple this is? I want you to know how much you're married to me. You're married to salvation. So if you need healing, say it. And what will happen when you say it? The biggest problem will be uprooted and go away. Hallelujah. Amen. And it works because that's how much I love you. When you did none of that, I gave my life. I gave my son. I redeemed you back. Now you're my bride. The church, where is bride? We're in a marriage relationship with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Amen. You got to teach the kingdom. That will be taught again. You're married to him. You're in it. We're not only in it, I'm married to it. Hallelujah. Amen. My husband is Jesus, is salvation. Well, I wonder if he hears me. I wonder if I need to break through my portal. Honey, we can't talk yet because we haven't taken captive those things over our house. So you can't hear me yet. And the angel's going to come like Daniel and hinder my prayer. What in the world are you talking about? Is that how a father would treat his son? Solomon, as soon as you take authority over all that, then you can hear my voice. You need spiritual warfare for 21 days, then I'll answer. No, he goes, I'm so close to you, before you've asked, I've answered. But you're not sure of that because you've heard all these other teachings. Does that make sense? I will treat you like a bride. I'll treat you like a son. I'll treat you like a child of mine. Amen? You guys get it? That's how you can be sure, okay? Let me finish. All right. Oh, take me to the last slide. Skip all the other stuff if there's more. Just take me to the last one. He doesn't deal in maybes. If you did this, if you learn how to do this more, if you do that, he goes, I want you to be sure. Just go read the New Testament. All Paul's writings, I want you to be sure. You're already complete. You have everything you're going to need. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Any challenge you're going through, don't worry about it. You will be more than the conqueror on the other side on this thing. Does that make sense? So no sickness, no disease, no creditor. This is out of unmerited favor. No evil accusation, no weapon formed against you can come successfully against you. This is your inheritance is what it said. I just read that in Isaiah. And your righteousness is from me. The reason all that works is because I've given you me. I've given you my righteousness. Now you're as if you've never sinned ever again. Get it? You don't need great faith. What do we need to do? If we understand anything about how much he loves us, we can say, and that challenge will be uprooted. You guys get it? So why don't you rise to your feet? I want to get you out of here. I know we're a little long today. You guys get something out of it, though? If you've got a challenge, he goes, you're a candidate for me. Because you're married to salvation. Amen? And please, if I stepped on your toes, go read it. Get out of the Gospels. Go see how he's treating the church right now. It's very different. You guys understand that? I'm not telling you but you got to know who he's talking to. Most of the time he's talking to the Jewish. And here's what's interesting too. This whole discipleship, shepherding, all this stuff, the disciples aren't even called disciples after Acts. They're called the apostles of the church. They laid the foundation of the church. Did they go do what God told them to do? No. They never left Jerusalem. They didn't make disciples of nations. They're going to again. In Revelation it says they're going to go do it again. But in this meantime where they rejected their Messiah, here's how I'm going to treat you. I'm going to treat you like a bride. My relationship, you'll understand now, is a bride. Yeah. Amen? I know some of you guys never heard that. I go, man, but the Bible will mess you up if you don't know who it's talking to. Go read Miles Coverdale. He translated the first English translation of the Bible, and he said, listen, if you take things out of context, you don't know who it was written to, who it was written for, when it was written, and the context it's in, you will mess this thing up. All he's going to do is his love for you. Amen? Does that make sense to you guys? Hallelujah. If you have that much faith as a mustard seed, all he wants you to do is be sure, have assurance, be complete in me. Everything you need is mine. And guess what? You take your coat of weakness off and let me give you my coat of everything. He's your shield. He's your exceeding great reward. How will I know? Because he sacrificed his son. You guys get it? And that's all becoming a believer is. When your heart is persuaded that, wow, he loves me that much that he'll never judge me ever again for my sins. Yeah, now you can be born from that attitude. The other spirit is the spirit of fear that he's going to judge me. That's the true spiritual warfare. He says, if I loved you so much and I sent my son, of course I'm going to save you from wrath now that you're my son. When you were my enemy, I saved you. How much more now that you're my son am I going to save you? You guys get it? That's how he's treating you. Isn't that awesome? He's going to spoil his bride. Don't you guys want to be spoiled brides? You know what that does? That screws the religious people right through the roof. But go look, God doesn't change. The people that put weight, the religious leaders that put weight on the the congregation, what did Jesus talk to them like? Even that, go look at that discipleship, because this really hit me when Chris and I were talking to these people. We need to make disciples. I go, you know what? When the people wanted to be disciples, you know how Jesus treated them? Oh, yeah? Oh, even I'm a disciple? You got to give up everything. You better count the cost, because when you can't do it, you're going to be embarrassed. You got to pay the price. You think you want to follow me? We got to be followers of Jesus. You want to follow me? Then you better give up everything. And everything in me is going, I think you still drove a car here. You haven't even done what you're preaching. Does he want that from you? No, the very next chapter. He said, then the sinners and the tax collectors drew near. And then he gives the three parables of grace. No requirement to give up anything. He goes, let me tell you how the Father is. I gave up everything and gave everything to you. You want to be a disciple? You've got to give up everything. You see him as a Savior and a loving Father, he'll give you everything. They're right back to back in Scripture. That's why you've got to read who it's written to. It'll screw you up otherwise. Does that make sense? Go read them. I'm a disciple of Jesus. It's a long road to hoe is what we'd say. Right? But when you go, Lord, I can't do it. Now that's where I wanted you. Let me give you everything. When the sinners and the tax collectors drew near, he gave them his grace. I'm going to be a follower of you, then you got to give up everything. Because you can't do what I've done. You got to receive from me. Peter, unless you let me do everything for you and serve you, you'll never partake of me. Huh? I want to serve the Lord. I want to be saved. Amen? Hallelujah, man. I'm not saying serve. Do I serve God? Yes, but it's out of a realization that he loves me unconditionally. I can't do anything without him. And then what you desire to do is go, here's how amazing it is, like we were talking about. We want to go, Lord, I'll lay down my crown. I'll do anything for you. He goes, not necessary. That was to the people who just saw me as a disciple. The ones who see me as salvation, I'll give you everything. Put your crown back on. You're worthy to stand here next to me. Hallelujah. Amen. Go read it. It's good news. Is that good news? Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. Just talk to him, guys. You know what? Do you realize how much he loves you? Because if you understand that, if you have a mustard seed of that, you can say, this is what I have, Lord. This is what I need from you. Amen? So, Father, we thank you. Every healed part of their body, every part of their body that's not working, that needs to work better, that needs to be replaced, we call that whole in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that anything that's there that isn't supposed to be there, we call it uprooted and cast into the sea right now. We call that body whole. We just thank you for that. Every lack, we call it filled in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we just thank you that any family that needs to be whole, it's whole in Jesus' mighty name. Let the redeemed of the Lord, these people are redeemed by the Redeemer, let them say so. Father, this is the day that the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it, in you, because no challenge is bigger than you. You've already seen everything we're going to need. From the foundation of the world, you said, yes, I've already provided that. Just say it. Give it back to him. If you have any lack, if you have anything, he goes, you know what? My grace will superabound right there. Amen? You need anything, he goes, yes. Hey, that business idea, he's already said, I put that in there. I've said yes on that one. Amen? Whatever you put your hand to shall prosper. Hallelujah? That's a reality in me. Every promise is yes and amen in the anointed one. Hallelujah? You don't need more anointing. You need to know you've already been anointed. You don't need to learn how to carry. You need to know he's already given. And then that's how it works. Does that make sense? It just flows out of you when you know you've already got it. When you know you don't have it, now you're going to wonder if I know how to carry it. See how that works? It's just subtle, but that's how it messes up. You guys understand that? So when you go, I don't know how to carry anything. I can't even find my iPhone. Thank God for that app. Find your iPhone. I used it again the other day. It was laying on my floor right in my office. I told my wife, man, I can't find my iPhone. Beep, beep, beep. Literally right next to my chair. When you didn't know how to find anything, he found you. How do I learn how to carry it? Knowing that I have it. That's it. Hallelujah. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's how you learn. That's how you walk in it all day. Amen? Even when you make a mistake, you're confident that he's going to fix your mistake. I'll make your mistakes to prosper is what he said. Wow. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? That's it. So you just give it to him, whatever you need. Like, seriously, guys, he goes, man, I will be more than enough in that area. I will save that very area that's weak. He goes, give me my weakness. That's what Paul said. I don't try to be strong in that area. You go, let's learn more time management. Let's learn money management. Let's learn this. What does Paul do? I glory in my infirmities. Because I'm weak, he's given me his coat of strength right there. He'll be my covenant partner. Amen? Isn't that good news? So you have any lack, go, thank God, I glory in it. He's going to save me in that very area. Because when he saved me when we were his enemy, how much more that he's alive. Amen? You guys get it? Isn't that good news? So Father, we thank you. We thank you for supernatural miracles that go forth from that message. When that message gets in their heart, it brings forth signs, wonders, and miracles. It changes around financial destinies. Father, it changes around careers. It explodes new business ideas. It gives them witty ideas and inventions, Father. We thank you that what they didn't know how to fix in their marriage, we just stop. Lord, you fix it for us. We give you this lack. You make it whole. In Jesus' magnificent name, amen.